Okay, meeting is called to order at 8:03 Eastern Time. And roll call, Kim Laird is here. Sandy Brown, absent. Don Lewis.
Here.
Jerry Martin.
I am here.
Jim Maxwell.
Here.
Bob Newman.
Here.
Will Penman is not here, had an exam. Also here is John Satriano.
Hello.
Hello. And Chuck Hawley as recording secretary, or will be recording secretary in a bit.
Martin.
Oh, Martin. Hello, Martin.
Hey.
Martin, just in time. Yep. Martin Frost, just in time for roll call.
Before we get started, I'm looking for today's agenda, and it's not in the minutes yet. And so does anybody remember? I know Kim posted it.
It's on one of the forums.
Yeah, I also emailed it earlier today, or yesterday, I believe it was. It was yesterday. I emailed it to everyone. I take it you didn't get that.
I don't think I did. It may have gotten filtered.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I did either, actually. The
uh-oh.
Yeah.
You know what? I've been having trouble with my email, and because of that, I've just changed my email account.
Want me to forward it out? This is Chuck.
Probably a good idea.
Could you do that, Chuck? Just forward it out to board@juggle.org.
Kim, today I got your newest draft from the Juggle contract, and the previous thing I got from you was something about the proxy absentee voting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it must have been yesterday. It had to have been yesterday that I sent the agenda to everybody, an updated version of it, because I actually put an addendum on with Andrew's video proposal, a second addendum for the contract for the DVD magazine, and a third addendum, which is about a DVD to do with 20 years of the People's Choice Award. So there was a lot of stuff on this update. I apologize for you guys not getting it. It's, as I said, I've been having trouble with my email, and because of that, with this email server, I've switched to a new server. So hopefully that'll...
I would make the observation that if you really want us to see stuff in a timely manner, the forum is probably a good place to put it.
I did put the initial agenda up on the forum. I just neglected to do it this time.
Yeah,
finalized.
If you could put it in the board forum, it would be easier to find than in the open forum. I mean, we need it in the open forum too, obviously, but maybe have a sticky in the board forum, just like we do for the call-in information.
That would be a good idea.
Yeah.
How about the board plus forum?
There you go.
That works too.
I am looking at the stuff on the open forum. I'm looking at the original agenda. But I assume, Jim, have you gotten his email yet?
No, I just checked.
I can tell you where the original one is.
I've got one coming in. Wait.
You haven't actually called the meeting to order, is that right?
Well, yeah, as of 8:03, I did.
You did, okay.
What I'm doing is I'm also in the Board Plus right now, and I'm attaching a file to the Board Plus. So if you look on the Board Plus forum in, say, another 30 seconds, it should be there. Okay. I just hit post message in the Board Plus forum. It's under November agenda. As soon as it decides, there it goes.
I see it.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, everybody all right now?
Yep.
Okay. Item number 3 on the agenda is approval of the agenda. I do believe we need to make a correction on the time. We are no longer in Eastern Daylight Savings Time.
Right.
So that would now be EST rather than EDT. Anyone happen to see anything else? Oh, we need to add the approval of Chuck Hawley onto here, but I guess we can do that as we move along according to Robert's rules.
Sure.
Okay. Any other comments or corrections on this agenda?
It's listed at 7. My approval is 7A.
Okay.
New business.
All right. Yeah, it did get on there. Okay. If there's no other comments or corrections on this agenda, is anyone opposed? Okay. The agenda is approved by unanimous consent. Previous minutes from October 11th, is there anything that needs to be changed or corrected on there? If not, like those to pass by unanimous consent. Anyone opposed? It passes by unanimous consent. Reports, festivals. John.
I guess that's me.
That's you, John.
I don't have a lot of new stuff to report. Mostly because I report pretty much everything that's going on to the board as it goes on. A couple of things I wanted to bring up about the festival. Is this the right time to do it?
Yep.
Okay. One is footbag competition. I know that we've talked about reducing the shows and the competitions, and I've been a major proponent of that. But I had spoken to Peter Irish. Peter Irish is a footbagger who won the World Freestyle Championship like 7 years running or something like that. He's an absolute god in the footbagging community. And he comes to some of the juggling conventions. We performed in a show together a while back. And I had spoken to him about potentially having a footbag competition at the IJA. He thought it was a great idea. He thought it would bring a lot of footbaggers in. But then he realized that the World Footbag Championships are run the same weekend. This is the same week as the IJA. So we stopped talking about it. But just this weekend in Cornell, I was talking to they had a footbag competition there, and I was talking to some of the footbaggers, and they informed me that the World Championships had been moved to the beginning of August in Florida. And I got some feedback from them, and they were all really enthusiastic. I asked them if it was too late in terms of advertising it to the footbag community, and they said, no, it's a really small, tight community. They worship Peter Irish, and if he goes to 2 or 3, you know, website forums and says, we're doing this, that's pretty much getting the word out. And I think we can probably add 50 to 75 footbaggers, you know, to our list of attendees, pick most of them up as members, get most of them for festival packages, and they don't need anything. All we have to do is schedule them a time and a small space for footbagging competitions. So I don't see really any downside to it. I think I'm going to start talking to Peter about whether we can do it or not. We have Peter in the show, in the Cascade of Stars. So he's already coming to the festival, and it wouldn't be much of a big deal to have him host the competition. Anybody have any ideas, thoughts on that?
John, it's Jerry speaking as registrar. It's a good idea to establish well in advance what we're going to charge these people to come in for contest. So is it a gym pass? Is it a day pass? Is it a special footbag pass?
Oh, no, I think it'd be, I don't think it'd be any different than a regular attendee. They can buy whatever they want. If they want to come for the whole week, they can buy a festival package. They can do gym passes, whatever they like.
Okay.
This is Jim Maxwell. I remember we used to have the yo-yo championship in conjunction with the IJA festival.
Okay.
The last time I remember was in Pittsburgh, and it seemed to be fairly popular. I mean, it doesn't really attract, you know, everybody, but there's a substantial number of people that it, I think, of jugglers that it would attract. And so, yeah, I see no problem with it. I mean, I don't really see that as an issue of, like, adding shows or competitions, because I assume it would probably be during the day rather than an evening
Correct.
Type thing.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it would be a great idea.
Okay.
John, this
you
is
have,
about, this about
do you have a – this is Martin. Do you, sorry, interrupt there.
Go ahead.
Do you, John, do you have a place intended? Is it going to be in the gym? Is it going to be in one of the bigger workshop rooms? Or, and do you have a time slot that fits in with this, the existing schedule?
I don't have either of those. It's the fact that we have so much room this year in Winston-Salem lets me put that decision off. However, we do have Thursday afternoon wide open. There's literally nothing scheduled that day, and we have tons of workshop rooms to give them, and we have a stage-like area in the gym that that I think they'd be extremely happy with.
Okay.
Hi, this is Bob. I would just encourage, too, that we try and get either whoever you're talking about or somebody who's very good at giving a couple workshops on it, like one before and one after, because people show a lot of interest in these things, and we're always looking for workshops that are kind of, you know, a little different than the norm, and it might be a great thing, you know, because people would be really, really be fired up after, you know, if they see it or even beforehand.
Yeah, excellent idea. As a side note, we're asking all our performers this year to do workshops.
Oh, great.
And so far they've all agreed. So we'll extend that to the footbaggers as well.
And on that note, this is Jim. Maybe make sure that we have a vendor there that perhaps specializes in footbag. I believe there's one in Portland, or I saw one at Portland, the Flying Clipper.
Right.
And, you know, make sure they're invited and that they know that this is going on. And, you know, because if you are going to have a workshop, then people will need footbags.
Right. Good idea.
Have we ever had a footbag workshop that anybody remembers?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Not since I've been coming. The first fest that I attended, which this is Kim, which was 99, is the only yo-yo competition that I even remember at the fest.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have to say that I was at the fest with John this past weekend, and the footbaggers were absolutely mesmerizing. I think I sat there for a good 2 hours straight just staring at them, watching them. So it's really, and they just sort of take off and do their own thing. So it was really kind of neat.
Yeah, I don't know why it is, but those upstate New York conventions, a lot of them have footbag element. And it'll be 20 or 25 people. And they take over their own corner of the gym. They fit into the festival extremely well. You know.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
But can they do three?
Probably.
Well, Peter Irish does three. He juggles three balls in his hands while he juggles a cascade on his feet.
you mean six? You mean six altogether?
Yeah. And he'll be doing that in the Cascade of Stars.
Nice.
That's a real Cascade of Stars. I guess.
That is.
All on its own.
Okay, so the other item I wanted to bring up was the youth group discounts.
Yes,
just youth discounts for groups. Did you email that?
I did. However, with the problem I'm having with my email, I'm not sure if it got through to everybody. So, you know, if you go through it again.
Did anybody get that description that I sent?
I'll go into my email and
put it
on the forum real
quick.
I
got it, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I switched email servers today.
Good to hear.
I'm looking for it. I just want to be able to run through, go through my... Okay, here we go. You know what? I worded this pretty well, so I'm just going to read it to you guys, if you don't mind. I would like to offer group discounts on festival packages this year. At first, I considered offering them to any group of jugglers, but after speaking to Sandy and Kim and giving it due thought, I realize it's an idea with little merit. However, I do think it's important to be able to offer this to the large youth groups that attend. All right, now I've changed my mind. I'm not going to read this to you. Hopefully, just when you get it, just read through it.
I'm putting it up on the board plus under November agenda right now.
The youth group, youths right now, is our fastest growing demographic. And I really think that the youth groups, the Jugheads, the Cascade Brigade, those kinds of groups, have a lot to do with that. They're really aggressively seeking out members. They may be the only segment of the juggling population that is aggressively seeking and creating new jugglers, aside from Jason. What I really want to do in offering them group discounts, and keep in mind that we raised the price of all the youth packages across the board this year, including the early bird package. My goal is to offer these groups incentive to grow, incentive to continue to create new jugglers and bring new jugglers to our festivals. I think when we invest in groups like that, we're investing in juggling at its core, the very future of juggling. Some of the groups are run as nonprofit groups. If we offer them a discount, they can do whatever they want with the discount. They can pass it on to their kids, or they can continue to sell packages to their kids at the advertised price and create a profit. And then they can use that profit to fund their travel, to bring more kids that wouldn't have been able to afford to come in the first place. Or some of the groups run as a for-profit organization. I believe the Jugheads are for-profit. And, the leader of that group can just literally, he can decide to just put that profit in his pocket. And I have no problem with that. As far as I'm concerned, in any of those cases, that group leader is now incentivized and has more funding to expand his group and continue his activities. I'd like to see that as successful a business model as possible, and I think we should support it in that way. So what I'd like to do is offer them a group discount of $89 a package just for youths in groups of 10 or more. I know, Jerry, you had some reservations about the group registration problems, and I think we might be able to solve that by specifically having a volunteer just for group registration, and they can work with the group leaders before the festival and at the festival to make sure all the paperwork is right and ready to go and make it as smooth as possible for you. It should ease the strain on the registration table at least a little bit if we're doing it the right way. The other thing is that it might cost us some money up front, but it theoretically might not or could not. The way it works out is if for every 10 kids a group brings, if they bring 2.3 more kids than they would have because of the discount, we'll break even. I agree that's not likely to happen, but I believe that if none of the groups bring any other jugglers, it still can't cost us any more than $1,500 in total profit to offer that discount. And I think that's a really small risk to take with very large, potential payoffs in the future. those guys are creating a lot of jugglers. Those jugglers are going to be IJA members for a long time. You know? They're going to come to festivals, and they're going to buy adult packages in the future for a long time. So that's my plan. You know, I'd like to have it set up so that we can offer, you know, a discount to the Cascade Brigade. They register as a group so that, Jerry, at the registration table, you only have to deal with one guy, one group registration, instead of, you know, individually registering each Cascade Brigade member as they come in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the whole plan, and I think it's important. I think it's important to do this. We'll also get some good public relations out of being able to say we're actually offering the youth package at a lower price than it was last year for those that apply, you know, for those that fit the necessary requirements.
John, I have a couple of questions. What would be the price this year without the discount?
$109. Yeah,
and it was $89. It was $99 last year.
Yes. Right.
Okay. So
we're offering a slightly less than 20% discount.
Okay. And the other question is, would this apply only to pre-registration?
Yes.
Good.
Definitely.
Because I would not like to see 10 people come up at the festival to register and try to get this discount.
Yeah, I would want to tell the group leaders, here's your date and your date. We can talk about this maybe a month before the festival. And you supply us with a list of names and a definite number 1 month before the festival that is not subject to change. If you lose some kids, you're going to have to pay for them, you know.
This is Bob. I love this idea. I think it's great, and it's a real innovation. I'm a big runner, and I do a lot of running races. And one of the ways they do this is exactly the same way. They sign up schools now, but then they can pre-register. And some sponsor from a school or some youth group, be it boys or girls club or whatever, is responsible for getting their packets. And that's it. I mean, you just 20 packets, you take care of it, you know, so you're not dealing with 20 children. So I think it's a great idea. And they're always pre-registered. So, you know, you know in advance. So I think it's excellent.
Okay.
This is Jim Maxwell. Just a couple of questions. Would the age, what is the criteria for age of calling it a youth discount? Is it the same as what we currently offer youth memberships for?
Yes. Yeah, and actually I'm not sure off the top of my head what that is. But
17 or under.
Right. And then the next question is, are there any other criteria for it being considered a group? I know it has to be pre-registered, but any 10 youth could get together and call themselves a group, or do they have to have an adult chaperone? Or?
Yeah, I thought about that, and I think the only criteria, I think the best way to go about it is just to say, you know, basically any 10 kids that can get together, as long as they have an adult group leader that's going to interact with the IJA, and that leader is going to assume responsibility for that group as well.
Right.
You know.
And would it be necessary to for that leader to buy an adult festival package?
It would. And I don't think we'll offer them a discount on that either.
Right.
Because
but what if the leader is not a juggler, but just say a chaperone type? You wouldn't actually require him to buy a festival package. He might buy a spectator pass or something.
Correct. Right. They can buy whatever they want, whatever kind of admission they want. Yeah.
We've been very lenient in recent years about letting chaperones actually enter as guests rather than having gym passes.
Yeah. If someone is a total non-juggler and they don't, I'm going to have some. I'm going to have guest passes to give away this year, so that we can go around the town and try and get people interested, you know, indigent people. And we see somebody who needs a pass, we have a pass to give them. And if someone's a total non-juggler and a chaperone, we may slide a couple of those passes their way. But basically the idea is we don't want to offer a discount or anything like that to the chaperone, because we could end up with a group of 10 kids and, you know, 10 chaperones. You know,
right.
You can fake being a chaperone. You can't fake being a kid. You know?
And one last question, and I've forgotten what it was.
Sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead. If it comes to me, I'll pipe in.
Okay.
This is Don. I was going to comment that I think in the past, when Ginny was running things, she more or less organized discounts like that for various groups like the Jugheads.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not new. There's a precedent, and it's a good thing to do, for sure.
Okay.
And in terms of offering a discount to the chaperone, I wouldn't say no to offering it to one chaperone,
mm-hmm.
not to like a dozen chaperones for the same group.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Or like one chaperone per 10 kids or something like that.
Yeah. If the chaperone is a real juggler and not buying a guest pass, then it seems like they should be paying the full adult price.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're actually a juggler.
Right.
If they're not a juggler, you know, then they already get a discount of only $5 a day.
I've always tried to make that clear in the transaction and request that people be honorable.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm very satisfied with the results.
Yeah, I was going to say most of the chaperones, from what I've viewed, pretty much have their hands full. So even if they're a juggler, they're not juggling much. So it's
yeah. juggling kids.
Yeah.
This is Jim, and I remembered my question. What's your plan for publicizing this? Like just to everybody, or maybe say, you know, if you have a group of 10 kids or more, contact us for a special deal, or.
Hmm. Yeah, right. I had pretty much thought about advertising it to everybody on, everywhere where we do registration.
And yeah. Say
if you have a group of 10 kids or more and want to apply for a group discount, contact the festival director.
Sounds good.
Jerry, are you there? Do you have any?
Yeah.
You got any feedback on that?
No, I think you've covered all the major points. Just as a policy, it will be, you know, it's good, it's goodwill,
right.
and that never hurts, unless it actually generates some groups into being or generates some groups into coming that wouldn't have otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a loss the first year because the only groups that would exercise it would be St. Ignatius and the Jugheads, who would come anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that's a reason to – that's not a deal breaker.
Right.
Well,
just something to consider.
I'm sorry for interrupting. I know for my group that I run, it may allow some kids that would not be able to come otherwise to get there. So.
What do you mean? Yes, of course.
Yeah. So,
yeah, and you know, if that happens, like
that's why I've been quiet on this because
got it. That's okay.
Yeah. You know, in theory, it could end up costing us nothing or very little. You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, costing nothing or costing something. The great thing is to get participation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right.
Yep.
And I also think
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think we need to explain it to the larger groups that are well established, like the Jugheads and
mm-hmm.
you know those. That say, you know, we're offering this because we hope you bring some more that you would normally wouldn't, you know. So, I mean, you know, and I think they'll probably partake in that.
Trust me,
yeah.
Pick right up on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if we end up doing this, I will end up working, you know, fairly closely with the leaders of the big groups, you know, at least for a little while. So,
On a technical...
Jerry, I wanted to ask Jerry, do you think it would work out? You know, do you think we could get it to work smoothly if we have a volunteer just committed to, you know, to group registrations?
Yes and no. It's not entirely what happens on our end. Historically, the Jugheads are super hyper-organized, and I get a spreadsheet from them that has all the information I need, and it's really slick and simple and done.
Right.
And they never make any changes, and St. Ignatius is pretty much the opposite.
Okay.
I get several batches of paper documents and withdrawals and additions and like that.
Right, right.
So...
So it's really
if we're clear to them about the process, you know, we can count on them to play the game.
Well, and that's another issue that I hadn't thought of, but I could easily see somebody signing up for this group discount and pre-registering and then wanting to do substitutions at the last minute because somebody couldn't make it, and that sort of thing. And then, you know, what if they, at the end, they didn't actually have nine that could attend or didn't actually have 10 that could attend?
Yeah, I think the way we'd have to work it is we'd have to play pretty hard ball with the numbers. We could be easy with substitutions, so that if you have a kid drop out and you want another one to take his place a week before the festival, that's no problem. But I think we've got to give them a date, and I'm thinking 30 days before the festival, where they give us a solid number, and that's the number that they're paying for. If they bring more, the more have to pay the regular price, and if they bring less, you've got to pay for the people that didn't attend.
John, I would, on a technical note, you say 30 days before the festival. I would say, can we make this the same deadline as the pre-registration deadline, the last pre-registration discount price deadline? Because having too many dates is confusing.
I see what you mean. The last pre-registration is, I think, a week before the festival.
You're allowing discounted prices even up to a week before the festival? We didn't do that the last few years. Last few years it was June 15th or June 1st. June 1st, actually, I guess.
You're talking about the early bird price?
Yeah. No, the middle price.
I believe the way I have it worked out, this is, again, off the top of my head, let me look in the back of the magazine. I got the magazine today. Did anybody see my beautiful ad in that magazine?
Yeah.
I didn't get mine yet.
let me see here. Yeah, I've got the early bird registration ends on March 31st, and then you can register for the middle price right up until July 8th. But don't forget that we increased that middle price significantly. And then there's a third price, an on-site price.
Okay.
So for future reference, I think July 8th is way too late. And you've already put it in print, I guess, so it's too late this year to change that. But that doesn't give Jerry, for instance, much. He likes to, for instance, has in the past liked to cut off pre-registration, not just advanced pre-registration, but any registration, you know, a few days before the festival. And that's very late for giving people a discount.
It's just based historically pretty much on letting snail mail catch up.
Yeah, and giving the volunteers time to catch up with those registrations. Jerry.
Maybe it's my mistake. I thought we did a week for Portland. I thought we cut registration off before Portland started.
A week works, yeah.
Okay, so that's what I have. I've given us eight days.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else for John on festivals? Okay, if not, moving on to finances. Bob, did you get my information about Holly?
Yeah, I have some things to report. Are you ready?
I have one comment on festivals.
Okay.
For the 2006 festival in Portland, we received two spreadsheets, or you guys received one spreadsheet from Katya, and I received another spreadsheet from Bill Gilliland, and they're inconsistent. Bill seems to have more detail in it, and it adds up to his preliminary total earlier. I'm guessing that his is more accurate, but I have no way really to tell. If his is accurate, then my announced profit from a couple of months ago is correct, of a few $1,000s. I don't remember the exact numbers right now, but his total is roughly $104,000 in expenses, and my list of income was about $107,000, as I recall. But that's all in actually the previous posts from a couple of months back.
Okay.
How do we find out what the right numbers are?
Going
to bed.
Ask Bill or Katya for more detail or whatever, rather than the spreadsheet, or we go basically do an audit, which is sort of what I was looking into, but it basically seeing what expenses we've, you know, where we've paid written checks and so forth. But I haven't had time to do that because it's basically a full audit.
And I think probably once Holly gets to the books, too, it will show because, I mean, my alarm bell is going off because, you know, if we announce, we made a big profit, but, you know, the books don't show it, then, you know, obviously something's wrong. But, I mean, I think tentatively we can look at this and just say, unfortunately, it's a work in progress because we have volunteers. I mean, I don't know what else to do because we can ask Phil and Katja for more information.
This is Kim. I did call Katja twice, left a message on her answering machine, and she has not returned my calls. So I don't know that means at this point.
I would like to say that the spreadsheet that Bill sent looks much more plausible than Katja's. It has numbers where Katja's had zeros in actual expenses, and it had, you know, expenses that didn't end in 00. In other words, hundreds of, you know, and it had more precise numbers in some cases. So it looks quite plausible. I haven't looked through it, however, versus the checks written and stuff to see if there's anything missing from it, but I would be surprised if it has anything overstated. At any rate, it doesn't show a big profit. It shows a couple of $1,000 profit.
But I think that's great news.
Absolutely.
I mean, just, you know, and I think probably, I mean, we are never going to get to the bottom of this, unfortunately, just because it was poor bookkeeping. I mean, like it or not, just what went on wasn't, you know, as accurate as we'd like. But, I mean, we can go with the best, you know, best case scenario, and I think that's probably going to be it.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Martin, for looking into that. And the one thing we do have to do is put some sort of report out there to the public on this and figure out, you know, do we just put Bill's figures out there? Do we just say here's the profit that we, you know, that it looks like we made? Or, you know, what do we put out there at this point?
Well, I think first we should send it to the board members just to look over, just to make sure enough people look at it. And, you know, if there's other questions, go ahead. But I think we have to make the full budget public, don't you think? I mean, I think we've done it in the past. I mean, I think we have to let them know. And if there's questions, I mean, we can always refer to people, you know, people who came up with the expenses. So.
And, Martin, if you said that, you know, Bill's has more detail in it and has actual numbers instead of zeros in spots, is that maybe the one that we should go with?
Well, I think so. I mean, basically, it looked to me like Katja essentially reported the original numbers. I mean, pre-festival estimates, namely the budget, not the actual expenses in many cases, and in other cases zeroed out an expense where Bill has a real expense shown.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Well, we'll need to do that then. We'll just need to get Bill's figures posted on the forum so that we can.
Did we post any budget, any final expense details in past years? Because I'm not aware that we did. We may have said, you know, we made $30,000 or $50,000 or whatever it was, but I don't remember if we've actually posted details.
I think if you.
I think we did
we
1 year.
Posted is on the website right now.
Yeah.
can,
well, that may or may not be true.
But I don't think it's. I don't think
it may have been on the old website.
I don't think we ever posted the spreadsheet as such.
No.
A lot of final numbers.
I'm not seeing anything on here.
The old website may have had some version, HTML version of the. Of the registration counts that I was maintaining.
I do remember, this is Jim, I do remember Sandy putting, in some form, she put out a festival budget. I do remember looking at that for Buffalo, but I don't remember where it was.
You mean making it public or not? You're not sure?
Yeah, I mean, it was public because this, I believe, was before I was on the board.
Yeah, so if you saw it, it must have been public.
It must have been.
I remember Sandy saying that her budget became very public after the festival.
Yeah, and I can remember at least one other, seems to be the Montreal Festival was posted at some point or other, because I can remember asking questions on the forum.
Yeah, precedent aside, I think it's, if we can at all do it, I think it's probably advisable to do it, given the current climate of scrutiny.
I agree.
I certainly agree with that.
Yep.
I would like to. It obviously belongs on like the business page or something.
Yeah.
We have everything else on the business page, all the year-end financial statements and whatnot. So that might be the place to put it.
And I will have no problem posting my spreadsheet down to the finest detail after the festival.
Right.
For you. Before we go and post this, would it be politic to contact Bill Gillian and say, hey, your spreadsheet's about to go live? Do you have any reservations?
Well, you probably should. Yeah.
Yeah. This is Kim. I consider that common courtesy.
Sure.
I don't even consider it a point of order thing. And it's just common courtesy before you put somebody's work out there to, you know, consult them. So.
Yeah, I agree. We might also ask him if he has any more details than the spreadsheet.
Right. Well, should I give Bill a call, or Martin, since you've been working on his numbers, would you want to do that before it's posted, or how do we want to do this? Who's
making
the call?
I'll do it.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, now on to finances.
Okay.
This is Chuck. One quick question.
Sure.
Bill, who is Bill? What's Bill's last name?
Gilliland.
Can you spell that?
Gilliland.
Okay. Got it. Thank
you. He was the co-festival director this year.
Right.
With Katya Sabin.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay, Bob.
Okay. An update. Holly did get a Dell laptop, as we've all agreed to, so that has been a purchase. I'm not sure what the cost was right now. Luckily, we have found in Wells Fargo several people who had been supposedly knowledgeable about this said there were only several hundred dollars in it. I guess there's $5,000 in our account. So we're right now in the process of changing that over, but we have to get a new username and all the password and all that stuff, and they have to verify it just like everything else. It's so out of date, it's taking a while. So that's the good news. I have gotten my Bank of America card, debit card. Jim, did you get yours?
I have not received mine.
Oh, okay. I got mine, and I've got to talk to Kim about that because my name's spelled wrong. So just, I don't know if that's important or not. But it's just,
I apologize for that.
No. That's like I say, but I didn't want it to cause a problem. I have several questions I'll email you about, but it's just technical. But, yes. We do have that set up, which is great, so we can start using those if necessary and at the festival. And pretty much that's all I have to say.
This is Kim. Just so you're aware, I did send that the deposit card for Bank of America by return receipt. So you're for it.
Yep, I do remember getting that notice, and I promptly forgot about it. And, yeah, I have to go to my post office. So.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. I was going to say it should have made it there.
Yeah, I think it came like Monday or
okay.
So. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I have a question.
Sure.
Bob has a card. Is that able to make withdrawals or just deposits?
His is because he is signing checks and has the ability to sign and pay bills, his is full access.
Yeah, the full debit card.
Yeah.
Good. Who else? What other people have full debit cards?
John Satriano will have full debit card. They are the only, and Holly will as soon as I get her signature card. She sent it to the IJA address, Jim. So
I should look for that.
Yes, if you could, and then pass it along so I can get that in there for her. Yes. John will have one for the fest expenses, and Bob and Holly will have them in conjunction with the treasurer bookkeeper roles.
Good.
Okay. One question I do have with finances is Dave Davis's reimbursement of his AccuConference expenses. I've asked him on the public forum to please validate the last four numbers of the credit card he used so that he can be reimbursed. He has yet to do that. I've contacted Holly and asked her if she could also make the request of him Maybe he'll respond to her. But I have no way of knowing if the credit card that was used, that was on record with AccuConference, whether that was his or not, because they will not give me that information. All they have on the receipts, on the bills for each month, is the last four digits of the credit card.
Seems like a reasonable request to me.
Yeah, he's not submitted any kind of credit card bill or even given me dates to go by as to when he started paying them on his own credit card. And when I know he ceased paying them as of August 31st because that's when they started on my account. So I know when it stopped. I just don't know when he started paying.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead.
No. One thing I would like to point out in this mess, it's just a mess with him. My gut feeling is just pay him. But on the other hand, I was on the board at the time, and we never knew he was using his personal credit card to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So it was never approved or anything. So I am concerned. You know, we have to look at precedents. You know, I mean, just, you know, somebody comes forward and says, oh, I did this. Well, you know, show me some proof. I mean, you have to have that. I mean, it's just ridiculous not to, especially when we didn't approve it beforehand. I mean, I don't think there's anything going on, you know, fraud-wise, but, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just a normal business way of doing things. Either you have a receipt or some way you can prove you did it. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous not to insist that, and I can't imagine why he's balking at that.
And it's almost $700 in expenses.
Yeah.
So we're not talking just $100, $200. We're talking a small chunk of change.
And my guess is he was hiding this because bills weren't getting paid, and he didn't want us to know. We thought just it was reimbursements weren't getting paid, but bills weren't getting paid, so that's why he jumped in. And, you know, God bless him that he did that, jumped in to fill the gap. But, I mean, nobody approved him doing that. And, I mean, it's just one of those things that, you know, we have to be very careful about. You know, for some time in the future, I always look at what could go wrong. Some board member could, on their own, figure we need to pay for this and not get approval and pay for it and insist on reimbursement when the board really didn't want to pay for it. You know, I mean, I don't know what the expense would be, but it was just, it's one of those things. I think it's a good idea to have, you know, some proof that something was, you know, expenditure was made.
This is Jim Maxwell, and just in the spirit of full disclosure, I believe Kim knows this, but I do have one bill that's on my personal credit card, and that is for our eFax account, and it's, I think, $12.95 a month.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Still, Kim, I know I need to come up with an expense report and get reimbursed for that, and I hope to do that by the end of the year.
That's okay.
But I don't know that that was ever approved.
Yeah.
By the board either.
Just for future reference, among us all, I just think it's a good idea. You tell everybody what's going on, because like I say, you know, because we do have a changeover of the board rather rapidly at times.
Sure.
You know, somebody can come and say, hey, oh, yeah, you know, I paid for this. You know, and it's not that you didn't pay for it.
Right.
I don't know if they wanted it paid for, you know, and it just – looking at the, you know, it's always half empty with me. I'm sorry, but it's
sure.
My job.
Well,
but, I mean, I just think in the future, I wish we'd, you know, like I say, and not against anybody, because I think we're all chipping in to help, and I think Dave Davis did that to help out.
Sure.
It's not anything bad.
And now that I think about it, it may even have been mentioned in the transition report that Mike and Marilyn Sullivan submitted about the eFax. But still... To that end, is there any way we can get a business credit card, not a debit card, but an actual credit card that could be used for things like this, you know, the eFax and the AccuConference and anything else that that would require a credit card, and just keep that paid off every month so we wouldn't be paying any interest?
My understanding is somebody has to be responsible, you know, individual has to step forward and say, if they don't pay the bill and it goes under, I'm going to do it. And, of course, you know, there's a very reluctance on any individual's part to do that because the checks and balances, and I, you know.
That's my understanding, too. And having looked at a couple of credit card offers, business credit card offers, I saw that, you know, if you have a, if your company has an income of like $1 million or $10 million a year, you can get a business credit card. But for less than, at least for less than $1 million, you need to have like a small business credit card, which means a personal individual is responsible.
Right. And, yeah, I mean, we've got one for our local juggling club, but, yeah, my name is on it. So.
Yeah. And we had one, and it was in Dan Howard's name.
Right.
And he was responsible. I can understand him not wanting to continue that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else with finances?
By the way, I was going to just occur to me that, you know, we have this wiki now, and that's a that would be a good place to list the automatic bills that are being paid by people like Jim with his credit card, or, you know, the AccuConference thing, just so anybody can go in there and say, oh, yeah, this is being paid, and people can update it without having to go through the webmaster. Just one more thing, that piece of information that can be easily kept maintained on Board Plus pages.
Sure.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay, moving on to insurance. We have had only 12 bites at the insurance. We need it 150 to get the discount rate. What I am working on right now with Randy from Paxalt is he is getting me a copy of the Puppeteers of America's policy, the one that they use with them, because our policy was going to be the same thing, because some of the jugglers like Joyce with the Atlanta and that want to see the actual policy. Randy is emailing that to me tomorrow. However, since we didn't get enough people in our own organization, he and I are checking out the possibility of us being a rider with the Puppeteers of America, that those people that are interested in getting the insurance through the IJA right now would actually, they would pay the IJA, but we would pay the Puppeteers of America to be part of their policy. Am I making that clear enough?
Yep.
And this would allow us more time to get some more interest going. I know Stephen Ragatz has contacted me about the insurance. He said, I think this is a great thing, but I wasn't exactly sure how it was going to work or what's involved, so that's why I didn't say anything sooner. And I think we have other members probably in that same boat.
I'm sure of it. I think there are others that aren't members simply because we don't have anything like that to offer. And
right.
So we need to somehow get the word out to people, potential members, not just to the membership.
Right.
I'm not sure how best to go about that, but I know there are, you know, dozens of performers that I'm sure would join the IJA if we could offer insurance.
Right.
I'd like to say that, you know, what we really need, we had a one-page ad in the magazine, right?
Yes.
But it didn't give any details, really. Maybe it said $300, but it didn't say, you know, a lot, I think. And I think we need a detailed web page that says exactly what you have to do and when you have to do it and how it'll work from year to year and stuff like that. And, you know, we can include a link to that or some of the details of that in Don's next e-newsletter if we have such a page up on the web. It seems like it wouldn't be too hard to get that get up there fairly quickly.
And that's something that even when I get the copy of the actual policy, you know, that could even go right up because then people could see exactly what they're getting. I agree with Jim, though. We've also got to go outside of our organization to possibly pull some people in. But if we have a link, if we have a section on our website, you know, it's a matter of email. So, you know, rampant right now, just about every performer out there has a website and an email. So we email, you know, performers that we can find on the Internet. You know, Jeff and Wes Peden, I was talking with them over the weekend. They kind of heard about the insurance but didn't really know what it was about. You know, and like they said, they'd be interested. So I think it may be us going out there and pounding the pavement a little bit to get people on board. If I can arrange this with Puppeteers of America, if Randy and I can get this done, and their vice president sounded kind of hopeful about that happening.
The Puppeteers vice president? Or
yeah, the Puppeteers vice president. I spoke with her yesterday. Actually, she's the secretary. I'm sorry, she's not the president, but she is a board member. And she seemed to think that the rest of the board would go for the idea of having the jugglers on their policy. And Randy from Paxalt said it's the same policy. It was going to be the same policy. So he didn't see a problem with it. But that's where we are as far as the insurance. We've just got to get the word out there more. And hopefully I can get this arranged that we can be a rider on the puppeteers policy until we get enough of our own people to do it ourselves.
Would that be like for the first full year we'd be a puppeteer? We'd be puppeteers? Or would it maybe change in the middle of the year?
Their anniversary actually comes up in May.
Okay.
So it would only, you know, hopefully we could do it just up until May and then go on our own.
Would we be selling half a year's insurance or a full year's worth of insurance for half a year?
That's what I'm working out with them now. I do know that I did find out from the puppeteers where we were told that we needed at least 150 members to get the discount insurance. They only need 75. So I have to work with Randy on that as well. I may be able to get our base number down a little bit too.
How many members of the puppeteers group do you know? I mean, we have a couple thousand.
Total?
Total members in the
group. Total members, they're around 1,600.
Okay, so a similar size.
Yeah, yeah. They're actually very similar to our organization in many ways, even right down to their magazine. So.
Well, this is Jim. I guess I'm just curious, as a festival organizer, as to the timeline and whether or not I need to make other arrangements for our festival coming up in February, or if we think that this would be a possibility, or how likely a possibility it would be.
I am going to be talking with Randy tomorrow. We have a time that we're going to be calling one another. So let me talk to him, and I'll give you a call then tomorrow, if that's all right, Jim.
That's fine.
You could always join the Puppeteers Club.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't cost that much compared to the insurance.
$50. It's 50
okay.
bucks a year.
So for $350, you can get insurance for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
But again, that would only be through May.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But you know, I would be paying more than that for just event insurance for the
exactly.
one night. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Sure.
Of course, you'll have to tie strings to your club.
We'll have to create juggling puppets now.
Good luck with that.
Okay, that's it for insurance. Sandy's not here to talk about the store.
I do highly recommend, by the way, publicizing the insurance in the e-newsletter or in just an individual email that goes out and saying, we didn't really tell you guys that much about this, but here it is, and here's our website with all the details. I mean, we can do that in the next week or two.
Yeah,
that would be great.
I will get that policy from Randy. If we can get that on the website so that we can put, you know, a link within the newsletter
yeah.
into but, there so they can go and see the actual policy.
Yeah, I think even beyond that, I mean, that would be useful to have, but I think most people are going to want it broken down for them and yeah. say...
Some rah-rah text.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The detail, the user the user information.
Okay. All righty. Membership. Anything from membership, Jim?
Not really. I will say that Martin's postcard to update email addresses was somewhat of a success. I definitely got a lot of email updates, and I'm still getting. It's slowed down to a trickle, but still getting email updates, and so we've got a lot more members where we can contact them electronically now.
Do you have a rough idea of how many you got?
Let me take a look. Do you remember when you sent that email? Well, it went actually the postcard. No, I would say probably.
I don't. Somewhere around October.
Yeah.
First.
Oh, it's going back. I'm gonna say close to 90.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
That's just a rough estimate, but I would say that's pretty close.
Fantastic.
That was definitely worth doing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. I am a little behind on the snail mail, and so I'm sure I've got quite a few checks to deposit, and I will go through that tonight and see if I can't find Holly's
the signature card.
Signature card, thank you.
Okay.
And get that to you. And this weekend to get caught up altogether. Actually, when Don, when are you thinking the newsletter will go out, the e-newsletter?
Well, I'm going to be working on that this weekend. If I
Great.
Get some more texts for articles, I would hope, say, the end of next week.
Okay.
Beginning of the following week.
I will definitely make sure that the database is up to date. By that point.
Good.
Great. Good work. All right. The magazine, Alan sent me the latest contract. I just got it this afternoon, and I was out on a class trip this morning, so I did not get it when he sent it this morning. I have posted it on the board forum. Just now, well, like half an hour ago, 45 minutes ago. So the entire contract is up on the board forum at this point.
And this is the one you also emailed earlier today?
Yes, okay. Yes, that was emailed earlier today. There are still one or two questions that Alan's kind of working on, and the first being the cost of copyright. And whether that's going to be split between the IJA and himself, or whether one organization or the other is going to assume full responsibility for the cost of copyright. He, from what information he's gotten so far, it's kind of negligible. It's like $30 an issue.
That's my impression. I'm sort of wondering why it's even a...
Yeah, well, his thing is more so, is the IJA going to assume full ownership of the copyright? Is he going to assume full ownership of copyright, or is it going to be shared copyright? And I need to get some feedback from the board on that as to how you guys feel, you know, we should do this.
Well, this is Don. I think that we should probably retain the copyright if it's manageable for us.
This is Jim. I agree with that. Following the discussions that have been on the open forum, it seems like that's what, at least the membership that has spoken up about it, they seem to be in favor of that as well.
That would be Dave.
Yeah.
Right.
Finally,
Dave and Andrew.
Right.
My only question about that is, and I posted late today, and I don't know if anybody saw it, if we have copyright, the ownership of that, like a guy like Todd, could we not publish a book saying, how to juggle and put all his articles in it and give him nothing?
I don't think we can do that. I think
okay.
We could republish the magazine ad nauseum.
You'd have to publish all of the magazines that his articles are in together in that book, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, the way I understand...
Pick and choose? I mean, you've got copyright, I don't know. I mean, I'm just asking the question because I can see where an author would be, yeah, I don't mind putting it out here, but I don't want you to make the best of book. You know.
Well, that's what that Andrew basically answered that in the forum.
Okay.
And he said, you can reprint the whole magazine, but you can't reprint selected issues, and the court upheld that for electronic publishing.
Okay.
Yeah, and
that's why he wanted a PDF of the entire magazine to be given to the IGA.
That's why the way I understood it from Alan as well. When
I must have missed that. I'm sorry.
When you each author can actually maintain their own copyright of individual articles. The copyright we get is for the entire issue.
No,
I see.
Okay.
Right.
And that's what is at issue with in the contract negotiation is.
Okay.
Well, that's one of the things. The other thing that Alan has not gotten back to me, he's been traveling, so it's been difficult for him to get some information. The only other thing that he still has not solidified yet is postage. Whether we're going to stick with the postage rate that we've had for the past 3 years, which I believe is nonprofit bulk, because by going to by staying with nonprofit bulk, we're only allowed a certain percentage of the magazine to be ads, and they must all be juggling ads. If we go to normal bulk rate rather than nonprofit bulk rate, we would be able to increase the number of ads in the magazine, and they would not necessarily all have to be juggling related. For example, if we go to that other
rate. Can I interrupt you for a moment? I'm
sure.
Sorry. I had to cut out there because I got another call, but now you're in an area where I just talked to Stan about this today,
mm-hmm.
and I believe you may have some incorrect information. Can you repeat what you just said? You said we could get more ads if we went away from nonprofit mailing rate.
Away from bulk nonprofit, the bulk.
Stan has never used nonprofit mailing rate.
Okay.
For Juggle Magazine. It's not bulk either. It's periodical rate.
Okay. Then it's probably going to bulk that would allow us to do that. I know that both the printer that we met with, who is our present printer, he's the one that takes care of the postage, you know, right now, he had said if we change our postage status, it would cost maybe $25 more per issue to put out, as far as postage rate. However, we would be able to increase the number of ads, and we would be able to have a wider variety of ads in it. For example, if a cell phone company wanted to give an IJA discount, they would be able to advertise that in Juggle Magazine. Right now, we can't have anything but juggling ads in.
I believe that's not true, because we're not using the nonprofit rate. If we were using the nonprofit rate, that would be true. And if we're not using, if we use a nonprofit rate, we're limited to 75% ads. But that's pretty high percentage. In other words, we would only have to have 25% of articles. This is what I got from the USPS today. However, there are limits on restrictions on what ads you can put in there.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you can't have advertisements relating to financial instruments, insurance, or travel, even if those are related to your organization somehow. We could have a note in there that says, you know, we have insurance for our members. You can call us for information. But we couldn't have, let's say, the insurance company's phone number in there.
Okay.
That's for nonprofit rate. He said also that periodical rate is more restrictive and that advertising is limited to 10%, not 75%, but 10%. Which is a little odd to me because it seems to me we have about 10% now. So I'm not sure I understand that. We're apparently using the periodical rate, but maybe we're, you know, very close to hitting that limit.
Well,
he said to me that periodical rate is more restrictive than nonprofit.
Well, this is either way. Right now, that's an issue within the magazine contract that we sort of, I feel, have to have hammered out before we go approving things. And I think we need to know what postage rate we're going to be paying.
Who's going to be paying it? Is that settled?
The way that the contract reads, if I'm reading this right, I know the way we've been paying it is all of the domestic postage is paid through stage rate, and we only pay the foreign postage. And
we actually only pay the surplus of the foreign postage over equivalent domestic postage.
I'm just looking for the part in here right now.
We only pay the excess foreign postage.
It's page 8, top of page 8.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It says publisher will separately invoice IJA for foreign postage and other incidental costs relating to mailing after the issue is to press.
Okay.
Payment shall be made by IJA within 10 days of receipt of publisher's email or facsimile invoice. To press is defined as the date publisher's printer has received final sign-off or final approval of the proof to print the magazine. Standard monthly payments as specified in Exhibit B need not be invoiced.
This is the draft new contract, right?
Right.
Yes.
So that's slightly different if we're paying all of the international postage rather than just the excess international postage.
Oh, yeah, I should have started with the paragraph before. It says, above compensation includes all mailing costs for domestic memberships. Foreign postage to be calculated separately on a per-cost basis. Said cost to be calculated at the international mailing rates less the domestic rate.
Ah.
So you're right.
Okay.
IJA and publisher agree to apply any increase and or decrease for postage, domestic and or foreign, whenever it occurs.
Apply? Does that mean if postage rates go up, we pay more?
Well, example, publisher pays for U.S. postage, and the IJA pays for the difference between U.S. postage and non-U.S. postage for those magazines going to non-U.S. addresses. But, yeah, I think IJA and publisher agree to apply any increase and or decrease for postage.
What does apply mean?
Foreign.
What does apply mean? That's the question.
That is a good question.
I mean, I assume it means basic. It's intended to mean that the IJA would pay any new higher rates.
Right. Well, it says IJA and publisher.
Okay.
Agree. So whatever that means, we're in it together.
Yeah.
I'm taking that. I'm taking that to mean that we're splitting any increase, but.
But that's certainly
not
what apply means.
It's not clear.
Apply sounds like it means applies this to the balance of the contract or something like that. So it certainly needs to be clarified.
Yeah. But they're the two big things right now. Alan did ask for something which apparently has been an agreement with Stan in the past and which the magazine publisher has been receiving, but it hasn't been actually written into the contract, and Alan actually put it into the contract. And I did check this out with John since it pertains to the fest, but he has asked for three comped fest packages so that Alan and at least one photographer. He's planning on bringing professional photographer in for the fest to cover the fest, at least one, possibly two if he can get them. And this way he feels he can get better coverage of the festival. And like I said, from what I have been told by Alan, this is something that has happened in the past. It just has never been actually put in the contract. And John said that, you know, it really won't cost the IJA a whole lot. John, are you still on?
Yes.
Okay.
You
had given me a figure of how much it would, you know, run.
The fixed cost for a festival package is going to run between $40 and $50. So
okay.
we can give away three of them for $150. If we can get two photographers for a week for that price, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
What do you mean fixed cost?
The banquet costs, food costs, stuff like that.
Oh, so it's basically food.
Right.
And that's all included in the fest package.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Okay. so that's all I really have to report on the magazine, because I the board members do have the contract in front of them. I was hoping that these issues would have been clarified by tonight's meeting, but with Alan being on the road, that did not happen. So we just have to, when we get up to the motion about the magazine, which is next on the list anyway, we just have to decide whether we're ready to vote on this now or whether we're going to wait for clarification on these items.
This is Don. I would suggest that we table it until we have a final version of the contract.
I agree, but that, you know, I'm putting it out there for everybody's opinion. Any other questions about the magazine at this point? Okay, if not, we'll move on to item 6A. Kinler moves for the board to approve the three-year contract presented at this meeting between Alan Howard and the IJA for the production of the IJA publication. By approval of this contract, the board gives permission for Kim to sign said contract on behalf of the board. And it was sent as an attachment. Can somebody please clarify for me? I forget. Do we need a second before we table?
Yes.
Okay. So do we have a second?
This is Jim Maxwell. I second the motion.
Okay.
And I'm in agreement with Don that this needs to be tabled until we can have a final contract. And I don't know what Alan's feeling is in terms of having this contract posted, as several members have requested, but personally, I would not have any problem with it, but I'm going to let those that are more directly impacted by the business end speak to that.
Yeah. I did email Alan and asked him about his feelings of posting the contract in its entirety. He was rather adamant about, he really does not want it published until after it's been voted on. I'd be happy to forward the email that he sent to me to the board members. I don't recall off the top of my head as to exactly what reasons he gave.
Was he happy with it being posted after it's ratified?
Yeah, after it's ratified, he has no problem with it.
Okay.
I think that's a very normal sort of attitude when you're negotiating a contract.
Right.
To keep people happy, though, if I would say for the three or four people that actually want to have a look at it, we could email it to them on the basis that it is a confidential document and they can offer us comments.
You could unofficially add them to your negotiating committee or subcommittee or something, or assistance or something, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, that would be the logical solution, but I'm just going to anticipate now certain responses that that are going to cry foul and say that it needs to be aired by the entire membership. Not that the entire membership would even bother to look at the thing, but I'm just anticipating the argument.
I think the argument will come, and I think it's a very easy argument to counter. Nobody publishes contracts that are in the middle of negotiation. However, we're willing to share the information with people who agree in advance to keep it confidential.
Okay.
If they're not interested in agreeing to that, then they wait like everybody else.
Yeah.
That sounds reasonable.
Part of me agrees with that, and yet I have one reservation, and that is, what if we have someone who says, yes, I'll keep it confidential, it'll just stay between me and the board and those few members, and then they go and post it anyway?
Well, it's always a worry, but you know, I don't think Dave would do that, and I know Andrew would not do that.
Yeah, and you know, ostensibly we have a webmaster that could, you know, if we catch it in time, could pull it off.
My only problem or concern about this is that not so much that I agree with Don that I don't think anybody's going to publish it if we, you know, make them jump through those hoops and they agree to it. But number one is they're going to make us, you know, look bad because, oh, they're keeping it, because the whole thing is secrecy, you know.
Right.
They're going to make me be silent and I could tell you, but it's not. Or, you know, after the fact, well, you know, oh, well, I, you know, or during it saying, I can't tell you, but they're really doing something bad here. You know, I don't know. I mean, there's no way to avoid it, I guess. But, I mean, those are my concerns. That, you know, we're looking like we're silencing people. And then, you know, and they can turn that right around to, too. I mean, I don't know what the answer is because, like, it's very frustrating to me. But, I mean, I just want to point out that that is the way I think it's going to play out. That, yes, I'll sign that. But, you know, I signed this, and I can't tell you, but, boy, is it a bad deal. You know, I mean, just...
Good idea to get, provide it to such people that you think might do that.
Yeah.
Well, I did go
that
back...
exact reason.
I did go back into my email, and I found Alan's response to my question of posting the contract. The one paragraph that he has here is almost identical to what you guys are suggesting. And this is, quote, you might explain that the board is planning to work with a team of people to make suggestions, and in fact already has been, and would be pleased to expand the number of this team. Comments from knowledgeable people outside of the board have been helpful in the past and could well be so again. He says here, Andrew would certainly be welcome to join the group and be sent a copy of the contract for his comments, if he could agree to the conditions of not making it public. Dave Davis would also be welcome to provide his input to the board, and is there anyone else Andrew would recommend to be added to this group? Interested parties could be sent the contract with an understanding of confidentiality. So he,
that's good to me.
He was along the same lines as well. Like I said, my concern is that, you know, it seems like David Landown is pretty on top of things that are on the forum and on the website so far. I have to admit, I have trust issues here. So,
well, I mean, if we just let David Landown know that, you know, this is a confidential document, if he sees it on the forum, to remove it immediately, I'm sure he would be on top of that.
This is Don. I've got delete access to most of the forums, so I can get rid of it myself.
Okay.
Do you think, as a preemptive, we might let people know that we may, if people try to post this, delete it ahead of time?
No.
So it doesn't look okay.
That'll just make them plan to automatically post it, you know, every
right.
30 minutes or something.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, in one way they're going to say, well, they deleted it. I tried to post it, and they're just such Nazis that they're just, you know.
No, but if somebody says something like that, then you just say, well, you promised not to post it, so what are you complaining about?
Right.
But, see, I think we don't win that battle because it's an open, you know, they are arguing for the open board. And, I mean, I agree with, I mean, I know we're doing right, but I can just see that, you know, politically, this doesn't sound real good. You know, just if we have to delete stuff and we're not.
Oh, I think it's fine. I don't think that's a big issue.
Okay.
Personally, I think if somebody agrees to keep something confidential and he or she doesn't do that, that's a reason to remove this person from the membership.
Yeah, I just looked that up in the bylaws, as a matter of fact.
Okay. I
don't expect anybody would risk their membership over that.
Okay. I mean, Dave loves being a martyr.
Well, I think he would do what has been suggested is, namely, he would say, well, I can't tell you guys what it says, but it looks awful. They're making a big mistake, you know.
Okay, well, like I say, I'll go along with the majority. I just wanted to point out, like I say, I'm rather negative person sometimes. So
the other thing we can consider as well is Andrew said he would be more than happy with a memo version, which is what has been posted prior to the signing of contracts before.
Mm-hmm. Once.
Right.
Has been is a one-time example. That you say has been. That was done once. There was one memo. There's never been, there's never been done other than that.
So it's never been posted at all prior to that?
No. The original contract with Joco Magazine was kept secret by the old staff.
Right.
Sure.
And was not, I don't know if it was ever made public, until the contract ended or something.
What?
I don't know what. And then there was the memo, the deal memo about renewing it, which is the thing you're talking about.
Right. Well, that's another option for us is to just post that out there.
Or post some details of it, but not the whole contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's the relevant parts, the interesting parts. I don't know what detail, if there are any particular details that Andrew Allen doesn't want. Another thing you could do is in agreeing to give this to somebody on the basis of a non-disclosure, you could also require them to agree not to make any comments about it, even to say it's bad. No comments at all based on your reading of this contract. No comments to the public.
It's just input to the board.
You can input to the board. Right, exactly. That's what it's for.
Right.
And if they then even say, oh, it's a bad contract, but I can't tell you why, then that's a violation of the agreement. So, you could go that way.
I'd be fine with that.
I like that.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
You would allow them to say, I'm reading it and making my comments to the board, but you would not allow them to actually comment on it otherwise.
Yeah, I would be fine with that.
Okay.
So we should...
Me.
Can we write something up that would go along with the contract or be sent to them in advance of the contract?
Yeah, it certainly has to be in advance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would even, go as far as saying Andrew, for instance, I would trust him to be able to put together a memo version of the contract to publish. But again, I'm going to leave that to the people whose business it is, and I realize that's also the IJA, but I don't really want to make that call.
Well, I don't think we really need to put up a memo version for the public, because 99% of people just are not interested. So
true.
Why even
exactly.
bother?
There's only four or five people maybe interested.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
So let's make it available on demand with conditions.
Yeah.
Okay. I will draft and pass by everyone here an agreement email, I guess you would call it. And then once we have response from that agreement email, then the contract can be sent. I'll work on that by the end of this week at the latest.
Could we put a message up on the forum saying that this is going to be available?
Well, if we're going to open it up, yeah.
Yeah, I would say so, and that would give them that much less of an argument in terms of keeping everything closed.
It should only be made available to those people willing to provide input to the board.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because just for reading it doesn't do any good.
Right.
Right. Okay. I'll get that up as well. Or Don, since you had suggested that, is that correct?
Yeah.
If you have a chance to do that, I'll get the work on the letter. If you want to post for inputters or if you think I should do that, that's fine.
I can do that.
Okay.
I'll put together the letter, too, if you want.
You're very eloquent at that stuff. I
Yes.
If you would like to do that, that would be well appreciated.
Okay, I'll try and post something on the board forum that everybody can look at.
Okay.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, moving on to item 6B. Blank moves to officially adopt the attached video policy as presented by Andrew Conway. And this is Addendum A, videotape in the gym for personal use and whatnot. Has everyone had a chance to read through that?
I have, but it's been a while, so let me scan it right quick. But I don't recall there being anything.
No, it looks okay to me. I'm willing
looks
to move
okay
that.
To me.
And once you have a chance to look it over really quickly, if someone wants to make that motion, then
Don moves.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second, Bob.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any
I've scanned it.
Okay. Any discussion?
Is it clear to everybody?
Excuse me?
Is it clear to everybody what it permits, particularly for performers?
Yeah.
I think it's rather straightforward, actually. Okay, if there's no other discussion, we'll take it to vote, and I'd like this to pass by unanimous consent. Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, motion is passed by unanimous consent. Item 6C. Blank moves to approve the attached contract for the trial DVD magazine. That is Addendum D, or I'm sorry, B. Has everyone had a chance to look through this?
I have.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks okay to me.
Okay, anyone like to make the motion?
Sure, I will. Dylan.
Okay. Anyone second?
This is Jim. I'll second.
Any discussion? Okay. If there's no discussion, I'd like this to pass by unanimous consent. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Passes by unanimous consent. All righty, on to new business. Item 7A, blank moves to appoint Chuck Hawley as recording secretary to the board of directors for the remainder of the 2006-2007 term. And I will make that motion.
Don will second it.
Okay. Any discussion?
Chuck rocks.
I'll second that.
Okay, if there's no more discussion, although it's very positive discussion, I'd like this to pass by unanimous consent. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Passes by unanimous consent.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Can I just ask a couple questions real quick?
Sure.
I don't know all the voices yet, so you guys are throwing out like passes. I second this. Who seconds the last one for me?
Don Lewis.
Okay, and then who motioned for 6C? It was seconded by Jim.
That was Don.
That was Don.
Don Lewis.
And then who seconded the one before? Don moved to.
That was Bob, I think.
Bob Newman. Yes.
Bob Newman. Sorry about that, Chuck.
It's okay, I'm getting it. Just slow.
You'll catch up.
You should have been around when we had Kim, Tim, and Jim.
Yes.
Yeah, really.
That was fun. All right. You okay there now, Chuck?
Yeah, I'm great. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. All right, item 7B, blank moves to accept the following proposal for Andrew, from Andrew Conway for the IJA to produce a DVD honoring 20 years of the People's Choice Award, and that is addendum C.
I'll move that.
I'll second it.
Okay, that's Bob moves. Don Lewis seconds. Any discussion? I do have one question on this. Maybe one of you can help me with it. I've asked Andrew this question a few times, but I don't know whether I'm misunderstanding or whether he is. We passed policy that we were not going to put copywritten music on IJA DVDs, on any future DVDs. And yet these performances from the 20 years of the People's Choice would include copywritten music.
Andrew's comment was it would be replaced.
Yeah.
Right, and he said there were only two acts, and one of them was John Gilkey, and I don't know who the other one
was. No, what he said was John Gilkey would be worst affected.
I see.
Because he's using a very familiar tune.
Right.
And somebody in Gaio wouldn't be affected at all because he's not using music. But everybody in between would be affected, you know, to some extent, probably.
I see.
Okay, and I did just see it, number 6 under Pluck and Responsibilities is to use royalty-free music exclusively with the exception of music quoted under fair use provision. Okay. I just didn't want us to, you know, pass policy and then be going against it. Okay, is there any further discussion? If not...
Well, one comment. Andrew basically answered this as well, and that's about video waivers, that these people, he says he's going to seek permission from all of these folks. And somebody may withhold it, and they just may have to be left off. But I imagine that most of these people will be happy to be on it. But he will get, my impression is he will get that permission from the individual acts.
This is Jim. That's probably good because, I mean, a lot of times we go under the assumption that everybody at the festival has a signed waiver on file, but, you know, who actually keeps these waivers?
Our files are a little in disrepair.
Exactly. And I think that's the problem we had with Dick Franco, where he claimed that he never signed such a waiver, and it's quite possible he didn't, you know, given the administration at the time. But we might... We might want to consider that for future projects of somehow archiving these waivers.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should have right on our registration form something that says, by paying us money, you are accepting our waiver.
Right, but
it is on the registration form.
But there are invited artists that don't actually pay us money to attend our festival.
Or fill out any forms.
Right.
We need to make sure those items are being kept in a safe place. Either they're scanned onto the computer.
Yes, they should probably all be scanned at some point. John Satriano? No. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. For this coming year, that's one of the issues that we should probably make sure gets taken care of is performers signing that waiver, even if they're not registering.
Yeah, I always assumed all the performers did it. I plan to make sure they all do.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm sure the previous festival organizers have not, you know, been very rigorous about making sure that happened.
Okay.
But I'm sure you will be because I know that you're the kind of guy.
I'll stay on it.
Okay. Is there any further discussion about this motion? If not, I'd like it to pass by unanimous consent. Anyone opposed? Any abstention? Motion passes by unanimous consent. All right. We're in the home stretch. this for the next meeting. We do need to meet to decide about this contract, the Juggle Magazine contract. It's kind of important that it get done by December 1st so that Alan can get things rolling with the contributing authors and the artists and everything else, especially since our first payment to him would actually be due on December 1st. Is there a day and a time when we would be able to have a special meeting just for approval of the Juggle Magazine contract?
This is Jim, and I would not be able to meet on the 27th or 28th, but the 29th, which is a Wednesday, or for that matter the 30th, I could meet for a short meeting on either of those dates.
This is Don. I can't do either of those dates.
Okay.
Actually, I think we could probably just have a vote on the board forum.
Oh, that would be great.
Sure.
I'm 2 weeks away from a show, so I know in another week I'll be in dress rehearsals. So.
Well, yeah, and it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could officially right now pass a motion authorizing the use of the forum to pass to accept the final contract by a majority of the board, something like that. I don't know how legal that is, but at least it's better than nothing.
And we would just place that under new business. Is that correct?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Well, yeah, right now.
Okay.
Current meeting, new business, which is what you're in.
Okay, so we need a motion.
How about Don moves that the eventual Juggle contract be approved by a vote on the board forum.
Okay.
Date to be determined.
And Bob will second that. Bob Newman.
We might even add language pending, you know, further negotiation and input from members who express interest in being on the contract team. I don't know that that's really necessary, but
I don't think it's necessary. You're already planning to do that.
Right.
This motion is mostly just to authorize, to formalize the approval process, and when whoever's Kim or whoever's overseeing the contract negotiation and is ready to post it for approval, then this motion will authorize that.
Okay, so Don, that motion again was Don moves that the eventual Juggle contract be
approved on the board forum.
Okay.
Approved by a vote on the board forum.
I was just going to say by a vote on the board forum.
And then you might say requiring a majority of board members, since
okay.
If only one person votes, you don't want to allow that to
right.
Require
and approval. That was seconded by Bob?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Don, do you want to officially amend your statement to say require a majority of board members voting yay?
Sure. But essentially, it's like a regular board meeting. You've got to have a quorum.
Yeah, except, well, but this requires all a majority of all seven, not just a majority of those who vote, not just a majority of a quorum.
Right.
If you see what I'm saying. Basically, it forces all board members to be present for that vote in some sense.
All right. Vote to be taken based on all seven board members.
Okay.
Okay. Chuck, are you okay on that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And it was seconded by Bob, as I said. All right. Do we need any further discussion on that? Everybody's okay with that one? If so, I'd like this to pass by unanimous consent. Anyone opposed? Anyone abstain? All right, passes by unanimous consent. Yay. Okay.
An estimate of what day you might be shooting for to post that, so people know to look for it.
Yeah, we should have probably added that into the motion.
Well, I didn't think you needed to pin yourself down. You've already sort of pinned yourself down to December 1st at the latest. So.
Well.
Yeah, I would say as long as we can, you know, deal with it that week, you know, I'll have internet access. I just have choir rehearsal on Monday and Tuesday.
Okay. So basically any time prior to November, on or prior to November 30th,
yeah.
If we can do it by the end of this month, that would be great. Okay, so item 8 now. Next meeting throws us into December.
Do we actually need a meeting in December, given that December is an absolutely insane month for most people?
Hey, I'm fine with skipping a month, if everyone else is, because to be honest with you, unless something really pressing comes up, which I don't necessarily foresee right now, we're getting a lot of business out of the way. Once these contracts are done, we're in good shape. So is anyone opposed to moving just through to January?
You might want to make it early-ish in January.
Sure.
Well, we can go like Wednesday, January 10th would be the second Wednesday. Wednesday, January 17th is the third Wednesday.
10th is good.
Yeah, as far as I know, the 10th works for me. I don't yet have a calendar for 2007 yet, but
okay.
I would assume that means that I'm open.
Okay, anyone have a problem with, are we shooting for the 10th then?
Works for me.
Okay. Bob, you all right with that?
Yeah. There may be some questions about it, but I think we just, you know, you make a decision, you stick with it.
Okay. Okay.
My biggest concern is the Portland budget. I'd like to kind of put that to rest, and this is another, you know, month and a half about that. But other than that, I guess, you know, it's okay.
Well, we can.
Hopefully that can be done without a board meeting.
Yeah,
we can do a lot
true.
Of business over
yeah.
the
yeah.
web and the forum.
Yeah.
Okay. So that means that any motions to be made need to be made actually by December 31st. So any agenda items need to be sent by December 31st. Okay. So next meeting's January 10th. Agenda items by December 31st. Any other questions or comments or anything else we have to take care of?
This is Jim. I just have a quick question for Jerry. How is the transition going with the affiliates? Has Rick turned over everything to you?
I have been unable to communicate with Rick. It's been my problem, not his.
Okay.
So no is the answer.
All right.
I'll send him a note. I'll give him a call right after this call.
This is Bob, another topic. last year we waited way too long to get the awards committee going, and I was going to bring that up either in December or in January to try and get the board to set that in motion, because I'd like to work with John about that too, just to make sure we make the most benefit of who we're giving awards to and you know, if there's any costs involved, which there really shouldn't be. But I'd like to approve the, you know, in January just to give everybody a heads up forming that committee.
Yeah, this is Don on another similar issue. What about World Juggling Day?
Yeah.
You know, Kim was going to talk to Don Higgins about that.
And I did speak with him. The shirts that he had proposed were not just for World Juggling Day. They were just for the IJA to give away as part of membership or however we felt we could use them. I did speak with Don. He is looking into a design for a shirt that would encompass World Juggling Day as well as juggling in general, so that we could use the shirts not only for World Juggling Day but for other events. He has started to solicit funding from different vendors and that, just to see what the interest is. And he said as soon as he finds out what the interest is from the other vendors and comes up with a design, he will pass everything by the board before he goes ahead and actually does anything else.
But apart from the shirts, is he interested in being head of World Juggling Day this year?
He had not thought about it prior to me asking him about it. So he is considering it. He is considering it. I do need to call him back. I haven't heard from him in about a week. So I'll give him a call back, and as soon as I talk to him, I'll post on the forum what his response was.
Good.
Or better yet, I'll have him post.
Excellent.
Yeah. And I happen to agree with Bob. We do need to get rolling on awards a little bit sooner, because getting the plaques and especially the education award last year, I noticed how short we actually cut ourselves with getting those things. And the artist did a nice job for the amount of time that she actually had to work on the education award, but a little bit more time would be really nice.
Okay. Is there any reason we can't get them started right now? You know, I'm okay if we just say, you know, we'll go ahead with the committee we had last year or something like that, and we can at least get the committee formed.
Well, Bob, would you maybe be able to contact those who were on the committee
yeah.
last year and see who's willing to stay on?
Yeah, my only concern is probably you don't want to be on.
I was just going to
yeah,
say that.
I was
it's not.
Say, yeah, I mean, that was my only concern, that we have to look for at least one other person.
Yeah, it's not proper for me
yeah,
to be on
yeah.
it.
And you don't have the time, so... and I'd like to coordinate with John more so than we did last year, because I realized all the problems that arose when we didn't do it with the,
mm-hmm.
the fest director.
Yeah.
So like I say, I have no problem. January, I think, is fine, because that gives us a lot of time. But I wanted to get that going and out there that, you know, that's what I want to do. And I'll contact everybody now, and then in January we'll post for the openings, you know, that we have if anybody's interested. And solicit some people.
Yeah, if you can have a committee ready to be approved in January, yeah, I'm fine with that process.
Great.
One last totally separate topic that I just want to... Oh, God, it just flew out of my head. Don't you hate when that happens?
I do.
Okay.
What'd you say?
And it was something I needed to bring up to you guys, just sort of plant a seed, and I forget what it was. Well, I'll post everybody when I remember it, probably in like 10 minutes. Okay, anything else? If not, do we have a move to adjourn?
This is Jim. I will move to adjourn.
Yay. All right. And so, we don't need a second, do we?
No.
No, I didn't think so. I always ask. Okay, a meeting is adjourned at, I have 997.
We do need a vote, but we don't need a second.
Okay. All those in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Let's put it that way. Okay, no one's opposed, so I have 957 Eastern time. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we are adjourned by a unanimous consent.
Thanks again, Chuck.
Good deal.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Chuck.
Indeed.
Congratulations, you poor snap.
And thanks to everybody.
We
got
everyone.
Through a lot of stuff tonight.
Yeah.
Yep.
And thanks
thank
for Martin
you.
And John for sitting in.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mom.
Bye.
Have a good
bye.
Night, everybody.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.